First, let's take a look at our headlines for this hour.
Vietnamese Communist Party leader visits Cuba.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel announces measures to confront current economic difficulties.
Venezuela denounces errors in Bachelet report before the United Nations.
And Israeli warplanes launch new attacks across the besieged Gaza Strip. And now the news in detail.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel received on Tuesday Comrade Hoàng Trung Hai, member of the Political Bureau of the Communist Party of Vietnam and party leader in Hanoi. He is in Havana, invited by the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Cuba. During his stay, the Vietnamese leader will carry out an extensive work program, which includes meetings with party leaders and social organizations, as well as visits to places of historical and socioeconomic interest. Díaz-Canel and Trung Hai discussed the special fraternal relations between the two countries and stress that these ties constitute an enduring legacy of leaders Fidel Castro and Ho Chi Minh. Both sides also ratified the interest in continuing to deepen the historic ties that unite the two parties, governments, and peoples.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel appeared on the primetime TV program, the Mesa Redonda, the Round Table, on Wednesday evening. Together with ministers from his cabinet, the Cuban leader announced measures that need to be taken to confront the current economic difficulties, especially due to the latest aggressions by the U.S. administration of President Donald Trump. The Cuban president said that the measures are designed to make sure that Washington's efforts to asphyxiate the island's economy will not be successful, and that the impact of the latest aggressions against Cuba are minimized. Díaz-Canel pointed out on the Mesa Redonda TV program that the current energy situation could affect sectors such as the distribution of some products, as well as public transportation and the supply of electricity. The Cuban president said that tourism is still on the rise, despite Washington's attempts to prevent visitors from coming to Cuba. And he said that he could affirm that the U.S. administration would not achieve its goal of discouraging the Cuban people and forcing them to give up. Panelists on the Mesa Redonda, along with the Cuban president, included Raul Garcia, the Minister of Energy and Mines, Eduardo Rodriguez Davila, the Minister of Transportation, and Alejandro Gil Fernandez, the Minister of the Economy. For his part, Eduardo Rodriguez, the Minister of Transportation, said that priority would be given to the use of diesel to move products from ports to the markets and to guarantee public transportation, while the measures to be adopted would prioritize buses and trucks, an effort will be made to reduce the consumption of large quantities of fuel. The special program on the Mesa Redonda on Wednesday evening included other ministers from the cabinet of Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel.
During the 42nd session of the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva, Venezuelan Minister for Foreign Affairs Alexander Yanis denounced the inaccuracies and the errors in the report sanctioned by High Commissioner for Human Rights Michelle Bachelet on the reality of his country. The Venezuelan official objected to the methodology used to prepare the document presented at the Council on July the 5th, suggesting it incites misinformation about the reality of the South American country already affected by the coercive measures applied by the United States. The material suffers from methodological flaws that result in biased information feeding the media campaign against Venezuela, the diplomat said. He also pointed out that the report ignored the information gathered by the High Commissioner herself during her visit to the country, but was based on 558 interviews, of which 460 were conducted outside of Venezuela. In other words, 82% of the sources consulted do not live in Venezuela. Regarding the consequences of the criminal, unilateral, and coercive measures imposed by the United States, the deputy minister recalled that these sanctions on the nation and its people cause death, pain, and suffering amongst Venezuelans, in addition to depriving the state of essential resources to access medicines, food, and other priority goods.
Israeli military aircraft have launched a new round of airstrikes against the besieged Gaza Strip as the Tel Aviv regime presses ahead with its acts of aggression against the impoverished Palestinian coastal enclave. News agencies reported that Israeli warplanes bombarded a position of the Palestinian Hamas resistance movement in Deir al-Baha, located over 14 kilometers south of Gaza City, early on Wednesday. The Israeli jets carried out four airstrikes against the site, targeted an abandoned building in a district of the central Gaza Strip. In the northern Gaza Strip city of Beit Lea, Israeli warplanes launched four rockets at a position of the resistance groups. Later on, Israeli military aircraft fired 6 rockets at a Hamas naval base. The warplane struck a target in Khan Yunis in the southern Gaza Strip as well. There were no immediate reports of possible casualties, and the extent of damage was caused. The strikes came hours after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was forced to flee and seek shelter during a campaign event in the port city of Ashdod ahead of a snap election scheduled for next week as rockets fired from the Gaza Strip threatened the area. And you've tuned to the news here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the International Shortwave Radio Frequencies, RHC, Radio Havana, Cuba. Now, back over to our news, here's Gerwin Jones.
A large explosion went off in the vicinity of the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, moments after midnight on the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Footage from the scene shows a column of smoke early Wednesday morning, thought to be near the U.S. Embassy in Kabul's exclusion zone. The Afghan Defense Ministry said a rocket hit an external wall near its headquarters, but confirmed no casualties. U.S. Embassy officials had confirmed the blast to report but had no further details. Some reports said ambulance sirens could be heard in the area around the embassy.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has announced plans to annex parts of the West Bank if he wins re-election next week. Netanyahu told reporters at a press conference that if re-elected and able to form a coalition, he would apply Israeli sovereignty over the Jordan Valley and the southern Dead Sea. The Zionist leader said he expected U.S. President Donald Trump to present his Middle East peace plan just days after Israelis vote next Tuesday, September the 17th, and that in coordination with Washington, he would also look to apply sovereignty over all of Israeli settlements in the West Bank. Netanyahu said that the U.S. plan proposes a great challenge for us and a great opportunity, a historic opportunity, to apply sovereignty over settlements in the West Bank. Most of the illegal Israeli settlements are not located in the Jordan Valley, but on higher ground to the west of that territory. The West Bank was captured from Jordan by Israel in the Six-Day War in 1967. Most of the international community regards it as occupied territory. All Israeli settlements built on it are illegal.
Ireland's largest pro-independence party, Sinn Féin, has called for an all-Ireland referendum on reunification and independence as a solution to a possible Irish border following a no-deal Brexit. They called on politicians across Ireland to begin planning for reunification and an end to British rule in Northern Ireland. Sinn Féin MEP Matt Carthy spoke on Monday as UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson met with Irish counterpart Leo Varadkar to discuss the backstop and other border arrangements after Brexit. For too long, our government and some political parties, particularly Fianna Fáil, have dismissed calls to engage in a process of planning for reunification. The real prospect now of a no-deal Brexit will expose that stance as nothing short of reckless irresponsibility, said McCarthy, and added, a united Ireland is a legitimate, eminently sensible political objective. It is fully in line with Good Friday Agreement, which explicitly provides for a referendum on the issue.
The Colombian Federation of Education Workers has called for a 24-hour strike nationwide on Thursday, September the 12th, to protest against the serious situation of insecurity that the South American country is experiencing. The protest aims at defending life and physical integrity of teachers, union and social leaders, and rejecting all forms of violence in this country, wherever they come from. Previously on September the 3rd, the Colombian Federation of Education Workers announced that its leaders had been threatened by the Black Eagles, a paramilitary organization, which maintains links with the Colombian far right and drug trafficking groups. As a result of these threats, teachers suspended their caravan in defense of life, a peaceful rally which was scheduled to take place in Cauca, one of the departments most affected by violence. On Thursday, teachers will ask President Iván Duque to fully comply with all agreements signed at the negotiations table, one of which is the recognition of educational institutions as territories of peace.
U.S. President Donald Trump has threatened to create obstacles for entry for people seeking aid and refuge from hurricane-ravaged Bahamas. On his official Twitter account, Trump said, "But we have to be very careful. Everybody needs totally proper documentation because the Bahamas has some tremendous problems with people going to the Bahamas that weren't supposed to be there. I don't want to allow people that weren't supposed to be in the Bahamas to come to the United States, including some some very bad people, and some very bad gang members, and some very, very bad drug dealers. Trump's comments contradict those of Acting Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, Mark Morgan, who said just hours earlier the agency was already processing entrants without documentation. This is a humanitarian mission, right? Morgan said to reporters. The death toll in the Bahamas has reached at least 50 people, though the number is expected to rise dramatically as thousands are still missing. An estimated 5,000 people have fled the Bahamas since the devastating hurricane. On Sunday, over 100 people seeking refuge in the U.S. were turned away after boarding a ferry bound for Florida. The ferry operator has since apologized for kicking the passengers off the boat.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Vietnamese Communist Party leader visits Cuba.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel announces measures to confront current economic difficulties.
Venezuela denounces errors in Bachelet report before the United Nations.
And Israeli warplanes launch new attacks across the besieged Gaza Strip.